Good afternoon, everyone. The Healthcare Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Garrison.
Here.
Vice Chair Jobb.
Here.
Ranking Member Woodson.
Here.
Representatives Abbott.
Here.
Amnesty.
Here.
Antone.
Here.
Bartleman.
Here.
Black.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Mello.
Here.
Salzman. Skidmore.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Trabulsi.
Thank you, Emma. Please make sure your cell phones and all those other things that beep are turned off. I'm going to follow my own advice. And as always, we want to thank our sergeant staff for keeping us and our guests safe. First bill we have up today is by Representative Silvers, Medicaid Behavioral Health Provider Performance. Representative Silvers, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you very much, Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member, and committee members. HB 43, Medicaid Behavioral Health Provider Performance, is a bill that requires the Agency for Healthcare Administration to establish network adequacy standards for behavioral health providers by requiring ACA to address provider-patient ratios, maximum wait times, and the availability of innovative service delivery systems. It requires ACA to contract with independent vendors to validate managed care health plan compliance with the ACA network adequacy and access standards and publish quarterly and annual reports on findings from the independent vendor beginning April 1st, 2025 and July 1st, 2026, respectively. It requires ACA to establish quality measure baseline scores for each managed care plan and set annual clinical performance goals cooperatively with each managed care plan. It also requires performance goals to be plan-specific, show year-over-year improvements, and provide mechanisms for administrative and contractual sanctions when not achieved. It also amends managed care contracts prior to January 1st, 2025, and to comply with the bill. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Silvers. Members, are there any questions, Representative Silvers, on his bill? Any questions from the members? Seeing no questions, we have public testimony. We have one public testimony form from Barney Bishop with Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waving in support. Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Seeing no other public testimony, members, is there debate? Is there debate on Representative Silver's bill? Any debate? Going once, going twice. Debate is going to be closed. Representative Silvers, you recognize the close on your bill?
Wave close.
Representative Silvers having waived close on his bill. Emma, please take the roll.
Chair Garrison?
Yes.
Vice Chair Jogg?
Yes.
Ranking Member Woodson?
Yes.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, members. Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank
Next
you,
up is HB 1271 by Representative Buchanan. Representative Buchanan, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members of the committee. Members, the Agency for Persons with Disabilities, or APD, supports individuals with disabilities like autism and other intellectual disabilities and their families. APD offers several services. However, the path to those options and the best choice can be confusing. Wait times and waiver enrollment can be long, thus creating unnecessary challenges for families desperate for help. CS for HB 1271 addresses issues of many families about timeliness and ease of application, including eligibility process and access to assistance from ADP while waiting for waiver services and navigating the waiver process once enrolled. Specifically, CS for HB 1271 requires APD to do the following: offer new navigational services to clients and their caregivers on a voluntary basis to help connect them to community services, develop and implement an online application process, meet the new time standards for reviewing applications, inform waiver enrollees about the new Consumer Direct Care Plus program, or CDC Plus. It also reprioritizes on pre-enrollment wait lists for those individuals whose caregivers are age 60 or above in Category 4, which was previously 70 and above. It directs ACA and APD to work with stakeholders on new Medicaid waivers focused on individuals that will soon be adults. The waiver priority would be to avoid future crisis enrollment situations. Lastly, CS for HB 1271 provides over $77 million in funding for new waiver enrollment for categories 3, 4, and 5. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman, and we have an amendment.
Thank you, Representative Buchanan. Any questions on the bill before we take up the amendment, members? Any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions on the bill, actually, let's go ahead and take the amendment now. Go take the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment is a technical amendment, and it simply amends the funding for the Agency for Persons with Disabilities to account for the most recent federal medical assistance percentage, or FMAP, split. Additionally, the amendment deletes the double budget requirement to be appropriated for the Agency for Healthcare Administration. And again, this amendment's technical in nature and does not impact the agency's ability to implement the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on this technical amendment?
I have a question.
Question on the amendment?
Yes.
Okay, yes, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Garrison. Rep. Buchanan, I know those changes are needed in the bill that you are proposing. I have one question for you on this amendment. How many people do you think the $38 million, when you total the 16 plus the 22, do you know how many people that would serve?
You recognize if you know the answer.
Mr. Chairman, if you could just, Representative Woodson, rephrase that for me.
The total amount that you have listed in the amendment, 16.5 million plus the 22, which equate to a total of about $38 million. Do you know how many people that would serve?
I'd be happy to get, Mr. Chairman.
I'll jump in there, actually, and throw a lifeline here. Staff says about between 600 and 700 people, but if you have questions, let's get with Brian Clark afterwards. He'll go through it.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions on the amendment, members? Any other questions on the amendment? See no other questions on the amendment. Do we have any public testimony on the amendment? I don't see any. Any debate on the amendment, members? Any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Buchanan, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll waive close.
Representative Buchanan, having waived close the amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? It passes unanimously. All right, we're back on the bill as amended, and we're now here for public testimony on the bill as amended. We have first up Danny McMilton waving in support. Thank you, with Florida PTA. Thank you for being here. Olivia Babas with Disability Rights Florida waving in support. Thank you for being here. Alan Abramowitz with the ARC of Florida waving in support. Alan, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Melissa Mazzotta says for information. Is Ms. Mazzotta here? You're recognized, ma'am. Your support coordinator. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, members. Thank you. I just wanted to provide some information and piggyback on what Representative Buchanan said about improving wait times, about folks being desperate for help that are on the wait list, and informing enrollees about the CDC Plus program, and Representative Woodson, what you had asked about the amount of money, and Chair Garrison about it serving between 600 and 700 folks. The issue that I see, and I definitely like the bill, is the support coordination component and consumer-directed care consultant component. Right now, there's not enough support coordinators and definitely not enough consumer-directed care consultants to be able to meet the needs. So that's something that I want to have considered by the committee. And we've discussed it as well. So anyway, that's about it. Just
thank
that information.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate
you.
It. See no other public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Any debate on Bill 1271 as amended by Representative Buchanan? Any debate, members? Seeing no debate, Representative Buchanan, you are recognized to close on this good bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm asking you for your favorable support. This is a bill that is moving us in the right direction in terms of clearing a lot of the wait times that a lot of these families that are desperately in need need to get services. And this is definitely moving the ball forward as it relates to making the system better. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Buchanan, having closed on his bill, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Garrison?
Yes.
Vice Chair Jacques?
Yes.
Ranking Member Woodson?
Yes.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Mellow?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Probolsky?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Emma. That showed that bill reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next up is the bill we've all been waiting for, 1561 by Representative Busada. Representative Busada, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. This bill provides additional enforcement authority to the Department of Health over offices in which physicians perform gluteal fat grafting procedures. Current law requires a physician to register their office with DOH if they perform liposuction procedures, which more than 1,000 cubic centimeters of supernatant fat is removed. The bill requires them to register if the fat is temporarily removed or permanently removed, thus removing a loophole from registration because gluteal fat grafting procedures involve removing temporarily and then reinserting the fat into the patient. Current law authorizes DOH to impose a fine of $5,000 per day on an unregistered physician office for performing a procedure that requires registration. The bill changes the fine to $5,000 per incident to allow DOH to fine a physician for multiple offenses committed during the same day. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on Representative Busada's bill? Members, any questions? Any questions? Seeing no questions, do we have any public testimony? We have no public testimony. Members, is there debate on this good bill? Representative Salzman, tread lightly, my friend.
Just want to say that I look forward to supporting this good bill. No buts about it.
All right. That having closed debates, Representative Busada, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee, I ask for your favorable support today. I know we've heard this issue in the past. It's an ongoing problem here in Florida, and people are coming from all across the country to get this procedure done. I know, Representative Salzman, you've had some really bad incidents in your district, too. It's not just a Miami problem, so I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Representative Busada having closed on her bill. Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Garrison?
Yes.
Vice Chair Jogg?
Yes.
Ranking Member Woodson?
Yes.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Mellow?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Probolsky?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Emma. Show that bill reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Busada. Congratulations. Next up is going to be Bill 1441 by Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson, the podium is yours. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member. Thank you, members of the committee, for taking the time to hear HB 1441. Members, the bill seeks to improve operational efficiencies and improve access to the services overseen by DOH in a number of areas. First, it seeks to solve the staffing and recruiting problem that many of the local health departments have by creating an environmental health technician certification so that non-degree employees can work under the supervision of certified environmental health professionals to complete septic inspections. It modernizes statutes pertaining to the newborn screening program to allow the program to provide screening results to genetic counselors. It improves the newborn hearing screening program by adding a requirement to collect screening data for toddlers up to 36 months in age. It's currently just 1 year. It updates the sickle cell registry to provide the opportunity for parents or guardians of newborns to opt out of the registry. And it adds a requirement to provide information regarding the availability and benefits of genetic counseling. It enhances the pre- and postnatal environmental screening program by clarifying and standardizing the two programs, with a goal of increasing positive birth outcomes. And it expands the telehealth minority maternal care pilot program statewide. The program currently is just conducted in Duval and Orange counties. And then finally, my favorite part of the bill, it codifies into statute the Andrew John Anderson Pediatric Rare Disease Grant Program. Members, many of you know that I lost my son to an ultra-rare disease called Tay-Sachs disease when he was just 4 years old. And since then, my family and I have been on a quest to ensure that other families don't go through that same heartache and that same suffering that we did. But sadly, many families do. There's currently over 7,000 known rare diseases that affect over 350 million people globally, 30 million people just in the United States. So to put that in perspective, that's more than 10% of the, or approximately 10% of the population of the United States, but more than 100% of the population of the state of Florida. So while we call them rare, when we look at these diseases collectively, they're actually pretty common.
approximately 80% of those rare diseases are genetic in origin, and it's my goal to help position the state of Florida to be a nationwide leader in genetic research and gene therapy. And this grant program is the first step to move that vision forward. So members, with that, I ask for your favorable support.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. We also do have questions on the bill, understanding we do have an amendment also.
We do.
So any questions on the underlying bill for Representative Anderson? Any questions on the substance of the bill? Seeing no questions, Representative Anderson, you're recognized to explain your amendment, which is barcode 841489.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a simple amendment that just removes some duplicated language that's also running through the Live Healthy Act bill right now.
Thank you. Representative Anderson, having explained the amendment, members, we have any questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, any public testimony on the amendment? We have none. Members, any debate on this amendment? Seeing no debate, Representative Anderson, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Representative Anderson, I have waived close on this amendment. All in favor of adopting the amendment, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. So amendment is adopted. We are back to the bill as amended. Any public testimony on the bill as amended? Seeing no public testimony on the bill as amended. Members, any debate on the bill as amended? Any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no debate on the bill as amended. This very, very, very good bill. Representative Anderson, you are recognized to close.
I'll waive close, Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson, having waived close, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Garrison?
Yes.
Vice Chair Jacques?
Yes.
Ranking Member Woodson?
Yes.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy? Mello?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
14 yeas, zero nays.
Thank you, Emma. Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Anderson. Before
Thank you,
you leave,
Thank you,
we have a little bit of extra time. I believe there's something going on Thursday you want to make us aware of. Could you please take just a moment as a public service announcement and let the members of the committee know what's going on?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the opportunity to make that public service announcement. Members, this Thursday, as you may know, is FSU Day on the Hill. Go Noles. And I thought this was a very sorry about that, Rep. Abbott. Or any Gators here, don't take it personally. I like the Gators too. However, I thought it was a great opportunity to announce, formally announce a project that I've been working on since last session, which is the establishment of the FSU Pediatric Center for Rare Disease Research. We actually, just before I came here, left the governor's office, he signed that appropriations check. We'll be presenting that at a press conference in the courtyard on Thursday at 1:15. So I hope everyone here can join us for that announcement, especially if you're a Noel, but that is not a prerequisite. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. You're a good man. All right, next up we have Bill 415 by our own Vice Chair Jacques, Pregnancy and Parenting Resources. Vice Chair, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This great bill establishes a website for expecting parents. This website will contain critical resources for pregnant women, including prenatal and postnatal care, adoption services, and other resources intended to make sure that pregnancy is not a burden to the mother. This website will also connect expecting parents with parenting guides and resources, including fatherhood initiatives. All of these resources will be compiled into a standalone, conspicuous website that belongs to the state of Florida, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Member, do we have questions on the bill? There is an amendment. Keep that in mind, members. But any questions on the underlying bill for our Vice Chair? Any questions? I see a question. Representative Antone, you recognize for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Jock. I got two quick questions. What kind of prenatal information will be on the website?
You're recognized to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All prenatal care that's deemed necessary to the health of the mother, the Department of Health will aggregate these resources and partner with community organizations that are already doing this work, and that would be available on this website.
Follow up? Yes, sir. Rep. Anton.
And thanks again. Thanks for that answer. And then can you just walk us through the appropriation? I don't have a question, but I just will hope that you could just explain.
Further explain the financial kind
yes.
of mm-hmm. process, sir. Yes, sir. Vice Chair, you're recognized to respond.
One moment.
Yes, sir.
So the The website is expected to, everything to implement this is expected to cost around $466,200. That will be $300 for the URL domain name, $261,900 for the advanced web designer, about $194,000 for project management, and $10,000 for IT support. And there will be an amendment addressing that.
Any other questions on the underlying bill, members? The underlying bill? Rep. Bartleman, you have a question on the bill.
Yes, sir. Actually, I was going to ask you, it's a question about the figures. Would you like me to wait for the amendment?
It might, if you think it's better for the amendment, that'd be great.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions on the underlying bill, members? All right, seeing no more questions on the underlying bill, there is an amendment, barcode 629629, by Vice Chair Jacques. You are recognized to explain the amendment, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment appropriates $466,200 from the Administrative Trust Fund to the Department of Health to implement the provisions of this bill.
Okay. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Rep. Bartleman, I'm going to go back to you. Any questions on the amendment?
Thank you, Chair. My concern is when I heard this website the first time, I went to the DOH website, which is incredibly robust, and I read off all the links involving prenatal care, pregnancy, postpartum care. It has every resource. So my question is, why is it going to cost so much to duplicate something that already exists? I know you're adding things, but it's pretty robust as it stands, and it's almost $500,000 expenditure.
Vice Chair, you're recognized to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In addition to adding additional matters, this will be a standalone site, conspicuous on its own and not set up through multiple links. And the reason why this is important is search engine optimization. So if you're searching for these resources, to have that one website, the one-stop shop where all of these things are available, as opposed to going to the Department of Health website and then going from one link to another.
Rep. Bartleman for a follow-up on the amendment.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chair. So then my question is, the URL domain name is only $300. There is no additional dollars even for marketing to get the name of this website out. So again, even just the project management is like $194,000. So I can't get my head around it. So how much, if you look at the website, I don't know who did these bids, but if you look at the website, you're basically going to take every link on that website and cut and paste it to the $300 URL to create a new website, and then you're going to, so why are these fees so high?
So is the question why the fees are so high?
That's a good question. Yes. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chair, you're recognized to answer the question why the fees are so high.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think it's just as simple as taking links and then put them in. I mean, this is, again, a sophisticated, standalone, conspicuous website that will have all of these resources in one area. And so if you talk to folks in the tech space, they will tell you, I mean, to have a website of this caliber, I mean, it's going to take some expense. And you hear from, I've heard from a lot of people, that Department of Health website is not the most, user-friendly. As robust as it may be, it's not the easiest to find information. And so to have a top-quality website, you're going to need to have some expenditures that are outlined here in this amendment.
Any other questions on the amendment? I think Representative Bolsey has a question on the amendment. Representative Bolsey, you're recognized.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm going to wait for debate on the amendment.
Sounds good. Representative Bolsey, having decided to wait for debate, is there any other questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, I do have one public testimony on the amendment. It may be on the underlying bill, I'm not sure, but it's from Andrew Sherville with Florida Voice for the Unborn, waving in support of the amendment. That's all the public testimony we have. Members, is there any debate? Again, this is on the amendment. On the amendment, and I'm going to go to my favorite representative from the Treasure Coast, Representative Trabolsi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Great way to narrow down that favoritism. My only concern I think I have is with the Department of Health having such a heavy hand in this, because their website, although very robust, it is also completely outdated. I am encouraged at the fact that it's going to be a new site, so hopefully it will be updated and maintained. But if the Department of Health is overseeing it, I don't really feel like they have a great track record with their website.
All right. Representative Skidmore, you recognize in debate on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also have some concerns about the allocation. The designer is getting $87,300 recurring and $174,600 non-recurring, and the manager is getting $194,000. So there's a manager who's overseeing the designer for a $300 domain name. I would like you to split this money and give half of it to Rep. Stevenson's pregnancy support services bill, because she doesn't have any money in her bill, and I think that that would be a better allocation of those funds.
Thank you, Representative Skidmore. In debate, do we have any other members who wish to debate on the amendment? Seeing no further debate, Vice Chair, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to address 2 points. Representative Tribolsi, regarding Department of Health, fear not. They will not be maintaining this or be, they're going to put it out to bid. A third party will be, in the private sector, will be responsible for putting this together. And regarding your point, Representative Skidmore, this is non-recurring. So we'll have to replenish this every year as deemed necessary for this funding.
All right. Vice Chair Jacques, having closed on his amendment, all in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? The ayes have it, and the amendment shall be adopted. We're now back to the bill as amended. We have a good deal of public testimony on the bill as amended. Tammy Fiche with Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops waves in support. Thank you for being here. Aaron DiPietro with Florida Family Policy Council waving in support. Thank you for being here. Danny McMillan, Florida PTA, thank you for being here. A proponent of the bill, waving in support. Thank you. Come on. Ms. McMillan, you are recognized. If your microphone's on, so you may want to just tap it. Is it? Maybe pull it down a little bit closer
okay.
to your mouth.
Now?
Oh, now we can hear you.
Okay. I didn't push
Representative
the button.
Campbell's a little hard of hearing down there. He
All right.
Sure he could hear you.
Well, good afternoon again.
He's got a lot of hair in his way. He's a little, thinks a little bit more. Thank you.
He's cool. He's okay. as I said earlier, on behalf of Florida BTA, we do support this bill. We have some concerns, of course. But first, I just wanted to give a little relationship type of thing. And as I said, some of us can relate to this. New mom, new baby. The baby cries every night at 2:00 in the morning and sleeps all day. She doesn't know what's going on. She's stressed out. She doesn't know who to call or what to do or whatever. Some have moms, grandmoms. Some women don't have anybody. So this bill, hopefully it will be common sense language in this bill, as well as what needs to be done to help them to understand what's about to happen to them, prenatal and postnatal, as you mentioned in some of the your list or whatever, is quite important. We want to make sure that the information is accurate. We're concerned that there's no duplications, and someone mentioned some of the information on DOH, how it's there. So we want to make sure this is up-to-date information because we are in the 21st century and there are many changes that have happened since I had my children. But there's some things that will never change. So we just want to make sure that there's no duplication. We thank you that you're reaching out to the fathers. And hopefully you have something in place to reach those fathers, because some fathers have made this baby, but they're over here, and she wants him to be with her. She may need to know how to have support to reach out to that father, to help him become the man and the dad that he's supposed to be for those children. So that component is very, very key, too. As we move forward, as we want to build strong families in the state of Florida, you've heard the Chamber of Commerce talk about strong families, talk about our children. So this is very important as we look forward to how we're going to build strong families in the state of Florida. And I think that's all that I have to say. But as I said, thank you. Oh, yeah. And how will you identify your third-party providers? Make sure that they are on key to what should be done. And will you have a tracking system to make sure that that information is up to date, current, who's giving you that information, and make sure that families know what's going on within the state of Florida? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. McMillan. We appreciate you being here. Next up, we have Kate Landeman from the Florida Interfaith Coalition for Reproductive Health and Justice, waiving in opposition. Ms. Landeman, thank you for being here. Andrew Sherville, Florida Voice for the Unborn, waiving in support. Mr. Sherville, thank you for being here. Devon Graham, American Atheists, waiving in opposition. Thank you for being here, Mr. Graham. Laura Rodriguez, National Council of Jewish Women, waiving in opposition. Thank you for being here, Ms. Rodriguez. Trish Neely from the Florida Women Voters, Florida League Women Voters, waiving in opposition. Thank you for being here, Ms. Neely. Linda Bell, Florida Right to Life's proponent. Does Ms. Bell wish to testify or waiving in support? I'm going to assume that means waiving in support. Thank you for being here and submitting the form, Ms. Bell. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance. Mr. Bishop, you're on here. I don't see Mr. Bishop, but he's proponent, so we're going to move that to waiving in support. Members, that's all the public testimony we have on the bill. We are back to debate on the bill as amended. I think, Representative Steele, you wanted to debate, and you are recognized. Anyone else just get my attention? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative, for taking this bill up and having the conversation with me today. Initially, I was down on the bill, and it wasn't because of the bill itself. It was because of the design, in my mind, was going to be owned and operated and built by an agency. And in my opinion, we have great businesses out there that could design this application. So thank you for taking the time to come out here and talk to me about it. One thing I would ask that you look at or make sure that's in the language is at the front end, the middle layer, and the back end slash database is owned by us so that they're not holding us hostage. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Steele. Any other debate? Representative Bartleman, you're recognized. And then Rep. Anton, I apologize.
Thank you, Chair. My issue is really the cost. Having spoken to other organizations that have done something like this, it's not even a website where you have to reinvent the wheel because it is all organized, although hard to find on the DOH website. Every resource you're speaking to, except probably the pregnancy centers, are on there. And almost $500,000 just seems like a lot of money based on my conversations with people who design websites. So, and if you're saying we're going to have to fund this every year, I hope we'll sharpen our pencils or go out for bid. I don't even know if we went out for bid on this, but it just seems like a lot of money for a website. And also the most important thing about a website is promotion of the name and the URL, and there's no money in here for promotion of the website. So I'm going to I'll be up on it today, but I hope you'll figure that out. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bartleman. Rep. Anton, you are recognized for debate.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Jocks, for bringing forth this bill. I think your intent is good. Just a couple of things. I hope that on this website there will be information dealing with black maternal mortality. There is a significant increase in black maternal mortality before birth, after birth. Some doctors out there now are telling expectant mothers, I hope that's the right term, hey, you don't need to come see me until month six. But there's a lot of stuff going on. So I hope there will be information on the website that tells mothers to go in every month for a checkup with their doctor. I hope there'll also be information dealing with protocols. What should women do? What signs should they be looking for? What things should be going on with their bodies at this point in time? Again, just trying to make sure that women, not just black women, but all women, know what to look for if we're going to have that kind of website. So that's all I got to say, but I'll vote in favor of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Anton. Any other members wishing to debate? Seeing no other. Oh, yes, ranking member, absolutely. Recognized for debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Jock, thank you for responding to my questions because you know I had questions about the bill. A website for pregnant women, I would encourage that because I know when women are pregnant, they need to have access to information and they need to have quick access to information that they might need. I do have some reservation with the cost, just like everybody else, because it's It seems like it's a lot for what we need to do. However, I know that it's important. The one thing that I would like to do, I would like for you to work on, you know, we know DOH, DCF, and ACA would be the players involved in the implementation of this bill. I would like also to have them working with some women to see what would they like to see as well in the website. Because sometimes we might think we know what they need, but they know what they need. So I would like to see a collaboration. Maybe they could put a group of women together and work with these women in order for the women to determine what else they would like to see on those websites. So I will be up on it, but I do have some reservation with the money.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Members, any other debates? Seeing no further debate, Vice Chair, you are recognized to close on your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members, for your input, the questions, and the debate. It's truly important in the committee process to get all these ideas together, and thank you for those who testified as well. A couple things is, you know, regarding the specificity of the information and so forth, or even getting information from women as far as what would be important on the website, it's important that this bill just creates that framework. It sets up the program. Of course, the departments will have to develop rules, and also when they go out to bid and so forth. So that's something I encourage all members to continue to be involved in. If we can't be as specific early on, certainly we can be very engaging, and also using our duties as legislators and appropriators to make sure that the money is being used in a way that is consistent with the bill. And so I encourage that process. But this bill simply goes to supporting families. And the state of Florida has been doing a great job in being a very pro-family state. And I think this website, having a one-stop shop where everything an expecting parent would need to have a child here in our state, will go a long way to making sure that our state continues to be the most pro-family state in the union. And with that, I ask for your favorable support.
Thank you, Vice Chair. The Vice Chair having closed on his bill, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Garrison?
Yes.
Vice Chair Jacques?
Yes.
Ranking Member Woodson?
Yes.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Paulsman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0.
Thank you, Emma. Let the record reflect that HB 415 shall be reported favorably. Congratulations, Vice Chair. Our last bill up today, members, is by my good friend Representative Stevenson from St. John's County. Bill 1609, entitled Pregnancy Support Services. Representative Stevenson, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Garrison, Vice Chair Jacques, and Ranking Member Woodson. Members, thank you for the opportunity to present House Bill 1609, Pregnancy Support Services. House Bill 1609 establishes the Florida State Maternity Housing Grant Program to add another layer of support for women and families in Florida. This grant program would provide housing for eligible women and families experiencing homelessness during their prenatal period for up to 8 months, which can include up to 6 weeks of postpartum care. According to the 2023 Florida Council on Homelessness yearly report, 24% of the homeless population in Florida are households that include adults and children. This grant would help families get back on their feet by providing temporary housing. House Bill 1609 also opens the door for the program to provide other services that encourage economic independence and positive health outcomes. So maybe we can get on your website, just saying. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Members, do we have any questions for Representative Stevenson about her bill? Any questions? Rep. Antone, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Stevenson. Is there any funding appropriated for this particular program?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Garrison. We have designed this as a grant program. We would really like to get it in statute so there's some provision to help people with this kind of funding. And then we will have to find the priority level in the appropriations process. But I'm hopeful, and I think that we have the best chance of establishing the program by not tagging the financial debate. And I'm certainly not after the Department of Health's website money, respectfully. I appreciate that shout out, though, Representative Bartleman. But no, there is not, and it was by design.
Representative Antone, you recognize for a follow-up.
All right, thank you, and thank you for that answer. So in the future, would the fund come from, be appropriated by the legislature, or, okay.
I can answer that. We would have to appropriate funds for the program, but it would exist in statute. Representative Bartleman, yes, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to say that I think that this, well, I'll wait till later. I'm not even going to ask her the question.
All right, Representative Bartleman, having decided not to ask her a question, we're going to go to Representative Steele, who's going to ask a question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for bringing this bill forward. I just have one question. Are you going to have some sort of analysis done to make sure that we're not having a frequent flyer episode? Thanks.
You recognize?
There would have to be some rules established, also for particulars, like how do we establish what a resident Floridian, certain things to prevent abuse, and yes, we would have, that would be part of the program design.
Any other questions, members? Any other questions? Seeing no other questions, we're going to go to public testimony. Brian Jogers from the Florida Association of Healthy Start Coalitions waves in support. Brian, thank you for being here. Tammy Fichi with the Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops waves in support? Yes. Tammy, thank you for being here. Linda Bell, Florida Right to Life, is a proponent, wishes to appear, but is not here, so we're going to say waving in support. All right, members, that concludes the public testimony. We are in debate on Representative Stevenson's bill. Members, we're in debate. I'm going to go to Representative Bartleman first because I think she decided her analysis was more appropriate for a debate. We're going to go there. So, Representative,
correct.
You are recognized.
Yeah, I had a question for later, but I'll ask you alone. But I want to make a point about why it's important to pass it even without the appropriation. 2 years ago, we passed the dental bill for the vets, and Representative Maney got that in statute. And then the next year, it was funded. So I think it's a great strategy that even though the funding's not there, the need will be demonstrated, and then we'll make sure to hopefully get that appropriation in future years, especially with our future speaker here.
All right, any other debate, members? Any other debate? Seeing no other debate on Representative Stevenson's bill, Representative, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate you considering this bill, and would appreciate your favorable support. Thank you.
All right, Representative Stevenson having closed on her bill, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Garrison?
Yes.
Vice Chair Jacques?
Yes.
Ranking Member Woodson?
Yes.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Tribolsi? 14 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Emma. Show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Stevenson. Members, that concludes our agenda for today. Well done. Very efficient use of everyone's time. I appreciate y'all being prepared and ready to roll. We'll be back here next week. That concludes our agenda. Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Mello moves we rise without objection. The meeting is adjourned.